Okay, well, thanks for the opportunity. Hopefully my presentation will go better than my travel arrangements here yesterday. I just wanted to point out that this project was really spearheaded by Rich Dirksen. And Rich is an agricultural engineer with our unit with the USDA in Worcester. And his area of expertise is application technology. And so Rich really became interested in getting some efficacy data related to different application technology procedures. And so that's where Luis and I and a few other people come in. And so it's really been a partnership between USDA and the Ohio State University. So clearly pesticides continue to play an important role in pest management in greenhouses. But the one interesting thing is that greenhouse structures can actually limit the application equipment choices that are available to growers. And so as a result, handheld applicators are frequently used. But one of the problems with handheld applicators or spot treatments is that they can result in wide variations in deposition. And some studies have correlated this variability in deposition with variability in efficacy for controlling a number of greenhouse pests, including mites, thrips, and aphids. So just to give you some background information, Rich Dirksen became interested in looking at some of the factors that could affect deposition. And so he used an artificial tracer and a couple different handguns, and basically used three different volumes, so a low, medium, and high, three different quality or droplet sizes, which consisted of a very fine droplet size, medium, or coarse. And then he used two different targets that were placed in lower elevations in the canopy and upper elevations in the canopy. And in this sense, poinsettias were used. And you can kind of see the targets here. And so those were used to collect the insecticide or the tracer, which the dye tracer, which could then be used for quantification purposes. And the targets were also placed either in front or in back of the plant in relation to the direction of the spray. And the tracer was then quantified using a spectrometer. So without getting into too many of the details, essentially there was a significant interaction found between quality and volume, volume and orientation, volume and elevation, and orientation and elevation. And really what that translated into was that in relation to direction of spray, the greatest deposits occurred on the front and upper areas of the canopy compared to the back and lower areas. So clearly penetrating the canopy can be problematic. And in fact, four times more dye was deposited on the upper canopy compared to the lower canopy. And there was a 10 times difference between the amount of dye that was deposited on the front side of the canopy versus the back side. So again, there's clearly some difficulty in penetrating the canopy when using a handgun type of application. And the idea is that application methods that rely on sedimentation, such as handguns, produce high deposits on top of the canopy, but other forces are needed to penetrate the canopy. With the idea being that smaller droplets can actually tend to follow air currents, and so the idea being that if you use a boom sprayer or broadcast type of application, you might be able to get better penetration of the canopy. So our overall objective was to assess the canopy penetration and efficacy associated with a couple different insecticide delivery methods. So the four different delivery methods that we used were a handgun at 50 gallons per acre, a handgun at 100 gallons per acre, a boom sprayer at 100 gallons per acre, and an air assist at 100 gallons per acre. And so you can essentially see the three different types of delivery methods here. So for efficacy purposes, we decided to use a silver leaf whitefly because it is almost exclusively found, as many of you know, on the underside of leaves. We used poinsettia as the plant material because of the dense canopy that's associated with this type of plant. So for infestation purposes, we used a clip cage to confine 6 male and 6 female adult whiteflies to leaves that were positioned in the upper and lower canopy elevations. The adults were then removed after 24 hours. The treatments were then applied 1 week after this infestation was allowed to take place. And then 19 days after treatment, we then went in and counted the number of living nymphs that were associated with each of the treatments. So for insecticide deposition, we used nylon screens that were attached to the underside of leaves. And again, these were placed at upper and lower elevations. And the nylon screens were then removed after application and then brought back to the lab, extracted with acetonitrile, and the insecticide was quantified using GCMS. In terms of the insecticide, we decided to use sand mite. The active ingredient is pyridobin, because it has contact action. We really didn't want to use an insecticide that has systemic activity, because then we'd be confounding the ability to penetrate the canopy with the insecticide actually moving through the plant. So that was the idea for using contact insecticide. And it's actually even noted that thorough coverage is required for optimal results. And so the actual treatments consisted of 3 plants being placed randomly on a particular bench, and those plants were infested with whiteflies and also had the targets placed on them. And we did 5 runs for each of the spray treatments that I previously mentioned. And 2 trials were conducted, one in January of 07 and one in June of 07. So for the first trial, in terms of the pyridobin deposition, we didn't see any significant interactions between treatment and elevation or a significant difference between elevation in terms of a quantity of the insecticide. But we did see, the only differences that we saw in terms of quantity were between the handgun 50 gallons per acre and the boom and air assisted, and so we really couldn't make any comparisons between those two. So essentially between the handgun, the boom, and the air assisted 100 gallons per acre, there was no difference in deposition. With respect to whitefly survivorship, we did see, compared to the control, the untreated control, we did see significantly lower whitefly survivorship on the handgun at 100 gallons per acre and the boom at 100 gallons per acre. But as far as the differences between the handgun, the boom, and the air assisted, there weren't any. So whitefly survivorship in the lower canopy, we really didn't see very good control at all, actually. The handgun at 100 gallons per acre was the only significant difference that we had compared to the untreated control, and the remaining treatments were not significantly different. So in this particular trial, we really didn't have very good luck with respect to not only the insecticide deposition, but as far as control. Now, in the second trial, we did see a significant difference between a significant interaction between treatment and elevation. And for all the delivery methods except the boom at 100 gallons, we saw a significantly higher amount of insecticide deposited in the upper canopy, which is represented by the letter U, compared to the lower canopy. And actually, the one point that I really wanted to make here was with respect to deposition in the lower canopy, we actually did see a significantly higher deposition in the lower canopy associated with the air assisted at 100 gallons compared to the other treatments. So in that particular case, this delivery method was more effective in terms of being able to penetrate the canopy and result in greater deposition. Unfortunately, with the whitefly survivorship in the upper canopy, we didn't see any significant differences. And so, for whatever reason, the treatment was not effective. So we really couldn't make any conclusions as far as this the upper canopy. With respect to the lower canopy, we did see that the air assisted at 100 gallons per acre was actually significantly different compared to the untreated control. So in that particular case, I wanted to remind you that the air assisted at 100 gallons per acre did have the highest deposition at this particular with this particular delivery method. And so it seems as though there might be some correlation between that particular delivery method and being able to penetrate the canopy and that resulting in greater efficacy. So basically the summary and conclusions that we have so far, I think overall one of the main conclusions that we have is that efficacy data is actually more difficult to obtain than one might believe. And we did see that penetration of the canopy is not always better with boom or air-assisted delivery methods compared to a handgun. For instance, in the first trial, there was no difference in elevation. But in the second trial, we did have a significant difference between the upper and lower canopy. And actually, the air-assisted did have a greater deposition in the lower canopy. So I think that clearly additional research needs to be done, but in terms of whitefly efficacy, we really didn't see very good activity in terms of a contact insecticide being used in a very dense canopy. And so addressing the question as to whether or not pesticide application technology can play a role in sustainable insect management in greenhouses, I think the answer is yes. I think it's important to understand the limitations associated with your delivery methods, the limitations associated with your particular insecticide, and knowledge of the insect you're targeting, the canopy, and really using that information and exploiting that information to improve control. For instance, in this particular case, a grower might not want to use a contact insecticide in a very dense canopy such as poinsettias. And it might be clearly more useful to use a systemic insecticide. So in terms of acknowledgments, the other point I want to make is the number of people that actually contributed to this project at one point in time. I mean, we had, during each of the spray trials, there were clearly people that were required to move plant material, to infest the plant material, and then the analysis is actually also quite expensive. And so it really was a very large team effort to address some of these efficacy and deposition issues. And so again, it's not necessarily as easy as we initially thought it was going to be when Rich asked Luis and I, and Mike Redding is also here to get involved in this project. So so I guess with that, I'll just go ahead and answer any questions that you might have. Yes, Carlos.
Why did you choose those products in particular?
Well, the sand mite, the pyridobin, the idea was, since we wanted to look at how effective these delivery methods are at penetrating the canopy, we wanted to use a contact insecticide because we felt that if we used a systemic, that we wouldn't be really addressing the issue of penetrating the canopy as far as deposition and relating that to efficacy. Because we felt that if we may not be penetrating the canopy very well, but if we have a systemic insecticide, that might make up for any lack of penetration. Yes?
To kind of reiterate Carlos's point, we
yes.
can try a different active ingredient next time as a contact to maybe get some better efficacy.
Yeah, we've started kicking around some ideas, Luis. We've started talking about additional types of products that might be worth trying. And even perhaps another insect besides whiteflies. So, thanks.